I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to our Black History Month edition of Fox 11 News in Depth. We're at the Compton Woodley Airport, and we're surrounded by all kinds of history. Let's go over this way. This is Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum. This is a very magical place. The museum is more than just a display of aerial history. It's a living classroom and a place for dreams to take flight. From aerial training to after-school programs offering science, technology, engineering, and math enrichment, TAM lifts up kids from 8 to 18 and changing their lives. And Robin Petgrave is the man behind all of this. You're the founder, and thanks for being with us here on Fox 11 News in Depth. And this man's got quite a story and is himself quite a story. First of all, tell me, what is this museum?
Oh, Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum is a living classroom. It it tells kids about the history of aviation as far as African Americans' contribution to aviation. We start off with the, you know, Bessie Coleman, and we talk about the Tuskegee Airmen, and we bring them all the way
to the future.
There's
just all kinds of things in here.
Oh, yeah, we bring them all the way to the future. I've built like a mini rocket lab here where
Let's do this. Let's take a look. Let's go over this way.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, where we are right now is just a great big hangar, but you got all kinds of things in this place that are historical, that are interactive, like right over here, right?
Oh, yes.
So yeah. Tell me about this.
These are F-16 simulators. All of them are networked together so people can get in them, and they have missiles and guns.
That's kind of cool. So it's kind of like video games at home, but you're not.
Exactly. And then what that does is it whets their appetite to want to learn more about it, like how did we get here? So then you can take them over and show them cool stuff like the
Let's take a look at that cool thing, yeah.
Oh yeah, this is a mini P-51 Mustang. It's in the same paint scheme as the P-51 Mustang that Lee Archer flew in the Battle of Berlin when the first German fighter came down and tried to shoot him down, and then the Tuskegee Airmen didn't know what it was, but they went up and shot it down anyways. And this one is really great because this one's autographed by one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, Otis Cowley, we call him Big O, and by Lawrence Fishburne, who starred in that first movie about the Tuskegee Airmen. So it's got a lot of history, and this is the only place you will find this with that combination of signatures.
I want to ask you, and I think before we even get into more about the museum, I want to get more into your head. I mean, what is it that got you here? When did you start this? Why did you start this?
Okay, so I had a big company over in Torrance Airport called Bravo Helicopters and Wing. I was on Oprah for being an entrepreneur. I started that company with $300, got it doing $3.5 million a year. But it was frustrating to me because I felt like I was fortunate that I was able to have this opportunity to get into aviation. But I think about how many African-American kids and Latino kids that kids that look like me but just are never given this opportunity. And so I wanted to do something bigger than my old company. I wanted to make a place where a kid can come down and get introduced to aviation, and wherever it is they fit in that field, if they want to be a mechanic, an engineer, a pilot, they can just come to this place, do their homework, use their sweat equity, and turn that into flight training and technical training so kids can do anything. And it worked.
How long ago did you get the idea, and then how long ago did you start the museum?
We've been here, I got the idea 23 years ago, and we've been here for 23 years, and the kids that started coming here, they're now airline captains, they're now mechanics, they work on the rocket engines for SpaceX, they are engineers, they're doing all kinds of amazing things, and the cool part is, because this worked for them, seven of them got together, they formed a nonprofit called Fly Compton, and now they're providing the youth training. The same thing that I did for them, they're now doing it, so it's sustainable, it continues.
That's interesting. You made a bunch of little mini-me's.
Yeah, basically, only they're a lot more organized than me. I was one guy trying to do this impossible thing.
But it wasn't impossible. You did it. And so because you have this thing, there are young people who are what? Learning how to be pilots, learning how to be aeronautic engineers?
Oh, you don't even know the half of it. Because I started this thing, Compton is now known for producing the best trained pilots. Why? Because I start them flying when they're 8 years old. So by the time...
8 years old?
Yeah, kids start flying here when they're 8 years old.
I didn't start riding a bicycle till I was 9.
Well, by the time they get into the industry, they start off maybe joining the military with 10 years of flight experience under their belt. So Compton is now renowned for having the best trained, best educated pilots in the world.
But you know, flying a plane is really, you know, it's quite a proposition. I mean, it's not like a car. It's not like you get behind the wheel and here we go. I mean, you got to know about lift and thrust and this and that and the wings. And I mean, there's a lot involved there. There's mathematics involved there, and there's education involved there. And you do all that here?
Yeah, it's amazing. Every Saturday, Fly Compton does these programs where they get kids 8, 9, 10, 12 years old that are sitting in a classroom. There'll be sometimes 50, 55 of them. And they're surrounded by older adults that look like me, but have been flying since they were those kids. And they look just like normal kids that you would see maybe riding a bicycle down the street, but only if you stop one of these kids and say, how does lift work? They can tell you.
Wow.
If you ask them, how do you read a sectional chart? How do you get your aviation weather? They can tell you.
You know what I know about an airplane? Fasten your seatbelt. That's it.
Well, that's one of the most important things to know about flying an airplane. But kids here, it's not just flying the airplanes. It's learning how to build them. You know, in our rocket lab, we have CNC machines. We have milling machines.
Rocket lab is right there. Let's walk over this way.
Absolutely.
And just tell me about the rocket lab as we're going over there. There's a rocket in there, huh?
Oh, yeah. They're building liquid-fueled rockets that actually can get to space. It's really incredible.
That device right there, what is that we're looking at?
That's a full-motion simulator. This is the second one that's ever been brought to the USA. It's a full-motion simulator, so you can get in it and learn how to fly a twin-engine airplane, and it's got the glass cockpit. So the same kind of cockpit that an airline uses is in this simulator, and kids from Compton can get in there and start learning to fly this thing when they're 8, 9, 10 years old.
And I think I see kind of behind this and behind that the rocket. It doesn't look like it's very large.
Oh, it's very large. The table's like 40 foot long.
Oh, see, I can't. It's all blocks. It's very hard for me to see. So yeah. I tell you what. Why don't we go in there? We'll take a look at all of that, and we'll do that in the next segment. You're watching Fox 11 News in Depth. We'll be right back with Robin Petgrave. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner with Robin Petgrave, who founded this extraordinary museum, Tomorrow's Aeronautical
Museum. This is an education center. Yes, it is.
And last segment, we talked about this rocket. Look at this. This is a long rocket.
Oh, yeah. This is a liquid-fueled rocket. It uses, not kerosene, but it uses liquid oxygen.
And the kids are making this?
Yeah. High school kids are working with engineers from Boeing, SpaceX, Northrop Grumman, Jet Propulsion Laboratories.
What is the end game for this thing?
The kids, they dubbed it the Compton Comet. They want to send this thing to space because it can carry mini satellites. And if it actually does get to space, this is an alternative way to get mini sats to space in a very affordable way.
Compton Comet. Oh, my gosh.
In here we have drones. We have milling machines. We have humanoid robots, a kid's program to do all kinds of things. It's insane.
And that may be insane, but boy, this is really insane. This is a heck of a mural. Tell me about this.
Oh, yeah. This is basically, it chronicles some of the notable achievements of African Americans that contributed to this thing called aviation. You've got, Eugene Bullard, you've got Bessie Coleman, you've got Chauncey Spencer, you've got the Tuskegee Airmen, right?
Right, all the way across there. And then tell me what's over there in that part of this little museum right there.
This is very cool. That is Benjamin O. Davis, and this is the blackboard from the first Tuskegee Airmen movie starring Lawrence Fishburne, and this was for the Battle of Berlin.
And this right here is
Benjamin O. Davis, the general that made sure that the Tuskegee Airmen performed in such a way. And then actually above us, we've recreated the Battle of Berlin,
which we can't see from this area here, but we'll try to catch it later. And
yep,
got a young pilot over here.
Oh yeah, this is Kavion. There,
come on in
Kavion.
Here. How you doing, young man? Your name is?
Kavion.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
14 years old. I've been your age several times. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a pilot when I get older.
Why?
I just love aviation. I mean, it's something that every kid dreams of.
Yeah, but what is it about aviation? I would tell you that not every kid dreams of that, because I didn't.
Yeah, I like aviation because it's always been a dream of mine. I like to be able to fly and experience the world from above.
But what was the kernel in your brain that said, ooh, this would be really cool?
I mean, I'm not sure. I started getting into aviation on my first airplane. Then I was like, oh, I got to do this. It was something that it sparked my interest.
So it was the experience.
Yeah, it was my first experience that started it.
Is that very typical?
Yeah, and that's why a lot of the kids come down. When we have airfares, kids come to the airport. Sometimes we'll have 9,000 kids on the airport, and we have these introductory flights, right? And there's another organization called the Young Eagles. They go around the country giving kids introduction flight because it's very visceral. Once a kid goes up and does it, that part of your brain that decides that this is the thing you got to be doing for the rest of your life, it gets excited, and that changes your whole life.
Let's do a little test, okay? Remember we talked about something earlier? What is lift?
Lift is what lifts the airplane up into the sky. It has four components. It's lift, weight, thrust, and drag. And those are what keeps and makes an airplane fly.
Okay, you win.
But the sad part is, when he was 8 years old, he could have asked him the same question, he would have told you.
You've learned a lot here, haven't you?
Yes, I've learned almost everything I know here.
But is there something in you that says, once I get good at this, I'm going to also push it back to others?
Yes, I want to. Once I become a pilot and I know everything I know, I want to help what they're doing. I want to do the same thing and teach the younger ones that also want to learn how to fly.
Because it's important for us to all help each other, to get along with each other, to do things with each other.
Yes, it's always the best to, you know, do everything for each other and take it back, because everyone wants to do what you want. Everyone that wants to do what you want to do, you should always help them, because you know what to do, and it'll give them a spark to do what they want to do.
Well, there's a term for that, mentoring.
Yes, that's, you know, one of the things when you're helping some kid and you're mentoring, you're not really sure if they get it. And normally when you help someone, they achieve success, they go about and they get their mansion and their yacht and they live happily ever after. But then there's a whole crew of kids here that actually got it. And that's why Fly Compton started. They realized that the self-sacrifice that I put in, the mentoring that I put in, that changed their lives, that they're doing, being successful in a field, you know, number one, success in a field that is underrepresented by people that look like me, they have no choice but to go and give it back and help other kids to become them.
And let's get back to that notion of people that look like me. I mean, we are talking about helping young people who are African American. It is Black History Month.
Yes.
And so part of the history here is that for 23 years, you've been helping these kids.
Yes, nonstop. I've been here 7 days a week just doing it because it was important, you know. This place has produced incredible historic events. We've had 8 kids set 15 aviation world records.
Really?
We're in the Smithsonian Museum as the pinnacle of African Americans' contribution to aviation. A little 15-year-old girl that flew one of our airplanes across the country and back became one of Essence's top 25 most influential African Americans. Next year, she graduates from medical school as a neurosurgeon.
Isn't that a good feeling, though?
Well, yeah, the good part, the best part about it is when I look at Fly Compton, because they got it, and now they're doing it, and so I can't imagine what greatness they're going to create.
But I want to ask this question. I'm going to ask you both. Black History Month, what does that mean to you?
It means, Black History Month means to me the things that African American people did to make the world better, and their history that makes them them.
And we put a spotlight on that so that we can learn from it.
Oh, yes.
That's what it's all about?
It is. By acknowledging, you know, not just trying to pretend we don't exist and we weren't integral in this development of this wonderful country called the United States of America. By acknowledging this and giving us a little time to shine and giving people who might not think the same a chance to look at something that they're not exposed to, makes everybody more inclusive, makes everybody, it starts to break down those barriers. People might complain about it, but it forces you to acknowledge somebody that needs it.
There's an interesting conversation sometimes, excuse me, when I've done this show, I have heard people say we shouldn't have a Black History Month. Every day should be Black History Month. Every month should be Black History Month. And so I've heard others say, no, we need to have a time to really reflect. But what's your take?
The best way to think about it is every day should be an anniversary. Every day should be Valentine's Day. Every day should be Christmas. You should celebrate that every day. But isn't it nice to have that one time where everybody acknowledges this is that one special day for this? You know, so yes, Black History Month is a everyday thing, but it's nice to at least have one month where everybody can acknowledge it and spend a little time spending more attention and shining more light on on our people.
I think that's very well put. And we're going to continue. Nice to meet you, young man. Can't wait to be in a plane where you're piloting, I think. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, along with Robin Petgrave, who is the founder of Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum, also known as TAM. This is quite an airplane right here, but what's interesting, it's half an airplane. This is an old DC-3 that was cut in half and turned into a food truck restaurant. How'd you find this thing?
I found it out in Mojave Desert in a boneyard. And
you were just out there and you said, oh, look at that. There's a.
No, I purposely went out there to look for them because I fly helicopters all over when I'm doing movies, location scouts. So I've seen them over there. So I went over and made an offer on it, bought one. Then we took it and chopped it. And I had LA Stainless Kitchens. They came and they cut this thing and made it into a full-on gourmet food truck.
You can still see the original cockpit in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was very important because this airplane actually flew combat in World War II. So we had the cockpit and we kept it in there so, you know, you can have that experience. This door opens up and then people can go in there and sit in the cockpit. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, again, more history.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what this place is all about. But the thing that's interesting about this restaurant here is the guy who's in charge of cooking everything. And that is Marshall?
This is Marshall Andrews, yeah.
And this is one of your kids from your after-school program?
Yeah, he's been coming here since he was 6 years old when he was this big.
Is this guy you call Little Knucklehead?
Oh, yeah. Marshall, I used to send him home every day. I used to seriously sit there and think, does he go home and at night think, what can I do to get Robin mad tomorrow? Because he did that.
You didn't do that, did you?
I absolutely did that.
So tell me about, you know, what's your experiences here and how you sort of went from being in the class and in the museum to cooking steaks?
Okay, so basically what it was for me, this was like a really like a safe haven for my community. I didn't want to be over there, so I came over here and I tried to learn how to fly. That didn't work out, so.
It didn't work out?
No, but like just because it didn't work out, it doesn't mean that was all the options that we had. So yeah, I figured out that I had a passion for cooking and we took it far.
Well, wait, before you get to the cooking part, what was it that you found that was complicated about learning about flying?
Just like the mathematics, just the aeronautics, just like.
Oh, you and I have a lot. You and I have a lot in common.
Yeah.
I can do one and one, but you do more than that, I'm out.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this ain't for me. So,
too much math.
It was just too much. And he's just too much.
And here you only have to worry about the temperature of the cooking, right?
Sure. Yeah, this is easier than like trying to fly a plane, so yeah, I just stuck with this.
Well, you're not going to crash this, right?
I can't crash this. Yeah.
So tell me about this. I mean, this experience for you has been fill in the blank.
Yeah, it filled in a lot of blanks. It filled in a lot of blanks for a lot of people here. I think this is a really good opportunity for everybody, especially coming from where I come from and being the age that I was and being influenced by a lot of different stuff. This really kept me out of a lot of
influenced
stuff.
Influenced by what?
Gangbanging, like being a degenerate, being a bad kid. Like this helped me. Like I know I bumped my head a lot with him, but he still he didn't give up. So
I don't want to push you too hard because you're taller than me, but. You got involved in gangs? Did you?
Yeah.
And so this program flipped
this program,
you around?
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, but it's still like I'm not that far off. You know what I'm saying? I still have common sense. You know?
Yeah. So this is a program that instills an entirely different ethic for you.
Yeah, definitely. It gives you a different like perspective on like what you really want to do in the future and how you want to like move as like a grown man. Like you're a man before anything, right? So I'm not labeled as.
Well, so you want to be a chef?
I am a chef.
You are a chef.
Yeah, definitely.
So are you going to end up on Fox's Master Chef?
Yes, absolutely. Hit my line.
Yeah, check out the face, right? Okay, very good. All right, Marshall, very good. Robin, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll be back right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, along with Robin Petgrave. And, you know, you're in a helicopter. This is one of your favorites, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and what is it?
This is a Robinson R-44 helicopter. It's very affordable, but very nice, very luxurious.
And you like it because it's a Robin sign.
Yes.
And your name is Robin.
Yes, exactly.
You got that? Yeah. Anyway, look. This is like a thing you do. This is like your life is flying helicopters, but this museum thing is your passion.
Yeah, I've been flying for 33 years. I have over 24,000 hours flying. I'm a very experienced, very capable helicopter pilot. That's my passion. But what was important to me was to give kids an opportunity to become like me, to be able to find their passion and follow it. That's why Marshall is now cooking. Kavion wants to be an airline captain. We have guys that are flying and building rockets and mechanics and engineers and all kinds of things. And that's why I had to build this thing.
But you know, I really have to ask you a question. I do mentoring too. Mm-hmm. And I have a program I do annually to help young people who want to be reporters and anchors. And I know why I do that, because there were people who opened doors for me. And if it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be where I am. What is it that is the reason you do this?
I did this because, well, I met Tuskegee Airmen, and once I learned about their history and what they went through, because before I had met them, what, 27, 28 years ago, I had no idea about them.
And that's what resonated?
That it resonated like crazy, because I just kept feeling like if it wasn't for their sacrifice, I wouldn't even be a pilot. And that was a big part of why I decided to build this museum, to honor their legacy and teach young kids now about their past, so that way the legacy continues, their history continues, because it lives in the hearts and minds of young people. So that was the big motivating factor for me.
Because if you're not a bridge to the future, then how do the young people of the future know about the past?
Exactly. And if the kids don't know about the past and what perseverance, what ethics means, what giving your all and doing the right thing means, then, you know, where are we going? And so these kids learn that, and that's why they decide to give back themselves.
All right, let's go over this way for a minute. It only stands to reason you'd have a red carpet outside of your helicopter.
Hey, okay. Here, you're the celebrity in our mind, so for the hour or two we got you, we give you that celebrity treatment, baby.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm not. You are Robin Petgrave. Marshall, Clavion. No, you guys are the celebrities to me. And I just a final thought about young pilots someday becoming big pilots.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, if you want to become a pilot, do it. You just got to put your mind to it. And once you get there, you're there. And now you got to bring it back and help the other ones.
You think about it all the time. And what about for you, Marshall?
For me, honestly, I just think that, like, if somebody else is building you up, you should build somebody else up. It's just like, you know, pick up the slack.
Push it forward.
Exactly.
Right?
Reciprocate.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I believe that 100%. Final thoughts.
Hey, you know, everybody has the ability to help someone to become that person they could be. And if you go through life and when you're leaving, everybody that met you is better than before they met you, you've done your job.
Okay. Don't forget our podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you get your podcast or at whatthehalpodcast.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.